So this morning, I want to, we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 8. That's where we're going to be. That's not necessarily where we're going to start. You know, if we were to ask the question, if you were to go around, especially on a college campus, I've been working with college students for 18 years. 28 years. Time flies when you're having fun. 28 years I've been working with college students, and I love college students, and we actually just got back from a spring break mission trip to San Diego, and we were on the San Diego State University campus. It's a little bit larger than SAU. SAU is about 4,000. San Diego State's about 33,000 students. And it was amazing to go out onto the campus and just see students everywhere. And we were going around sharing the gospel. But if you go to any campus and ask this one question, who do you believe Jesus to be? There is no telling what kind of answer you're going to get. Obviously, you're going to come across some who are going to proclaim Jesus to be the Son of God. But there's going to be quite a few who would say that he's just a historical figure, that he's just another person, that he is a myth, that he never existed, that he was a good teacher, a good person. And it reminds me of back in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus and his followers were walking down the road, and he asked them the question, well, who do people say that I am? And of course, they said, well, some people believe you're one of the great prophets, Jeremiah, John the Baptist. And then he turned and asked them, well, who do you say? Who do you say that I am? And that is a question that we all need to come to be able to answer. Who do we believe Jesus Christ to be? And in the book of John, John shares many descriptions of who Jesus Christ and Jesus himself, you know, throughout John, he says, I'm the great I am. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the door. And he identifies himself in many different ways. And this morning, I want us to look in John chapter 8, where Jesus describes himself, identifies himself as the light of the world. And so if you have your Bibles open to John chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 12. And it says, Jesus spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus said, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, because I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I've come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true, because it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth and the opportunity we have to have your word and to gather together as a body of believers to hear your truth proclaimed. And we pray that your Spirit would just speak to our hearts, that your word would transform our hearts and our minds, and that as you speak to each one of us, that we will truly be transformed into who you've called us to be. and that we would understand more of how we should live. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I am the light of the world. This is at a festival. They are gathered together, and Jesus is taking the opportunity to share with the people that he is the light of the world, and they are probably in the temple, and there's probably candle lights everywhere. And they're celebrating the Feast of Lights. And it all goes back to the Exodus when they were delivered from captivity out of Egypt by Moses. And, of course, as they were going throughout the desert and on their journey, it was God who was leading them. And he led them by a cloud by day and by fire by night. And God was visible. All they had to do was just to follow him. And so they're kind of remembering back. And Jesus would always take these opportunities to kind of say, okay, I am the Son of God. I am the one that God has sent to redeem the people. I am the new Moses. I am the deliverer. I'm the one who's going to deliver you from sin. And so they're probably perhaps standing there and all these lights around, and obviously the Pharisees, the religious leaders are there. And Jesus makes this proclamation, I am the light of the world. And obviously it took them back a little bit. And he said, and they said, no, you're not. Your testimony is not true. Because in essence, he is identifying himself as the Son of God. I am equal with God. God was the light who led you out of Egypt. I am the light who is going to lead you out of sin. And they disputed with him right there. They said, your testimony is not true. And Jesus replied with an interesting comment. He said, it is true. Because I know where I come from and I know where I am going. I know where I've come from and I know where I'm going. What an interesting thing. I guess, children, next time your parents say, you know, what you're saying is not true, say, yes, I do, because I know where I've come from and I know where I'm going. And that should settle it. Why would Jesus say, I know where I've come from, and I know where I'm going? Well, where did he come from? Well, he came from God. So let's turn all the way back. If we're going to go to where he came from, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. All the way back to Genesis chapter 1. And look at verse 3. This is obviously the story of creation. Let's just start in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So there was nothing. It was just complete darkness. There was darkness. And then in verse 3 it says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. Now, here's the question. What was that light? Where did the light come from? It didn't come from the moon, didn't come from the stars, didn't come from the sun, because that did not happen until day 4. This light. And I believe that light was God himself. It was his glory. He stepped in. And whenever there is God, there's light. It is the glory of God. It is himself. One commentator wrote, it says, the light was natural, physical light. Its creation was an immediate victory because it dispelled darkness. He pointed out that it separated out the darkness. If we were to shut off all the lights in this room, close out any source of light, it would be dark. Have you ever been in complete darkness? It's kind of eerie. But then if you turn on a light, all of a sudden light penetrates and separates out the darkness. And that is an important truth. You know, we can turn out all the lights, and of course everybody's got their little cell phone. They can pull it out, turn on their flashlight, and all of a sudden, if everybody did that, the light would be bright and it would illuminate and no longer. And so when God said, let there be light, he is making a spiritual statement there. I have come to bring light into this world of darkness. All throughout Scripture, there is this battle going on between darkness and light. And we'll talk about that more. But let's see, where is he going? So he shows up in Genesis chapter 1, because he is there with the Father. And in Colossians, it talks about that he was the creator of all things. He is the visible representation of the invisible God. But let's turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Last chapter of the Bible. It is, we are all in heaven at this point, and this is a picture of heaven that we can look forward to, and I'm just going to start in verse 1. We're going to get to verse 5. Revelation 22, 1 through 5 says, then he showed me the river of water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the city's main street. The tree of life was on each side of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for healing the nations, and there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And listen to verse 5. Night will be no more. People will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. There's going to be no light in heaven as a result of the sun. There won't be the need for the sun. There won't be a need for lamps, because God himself, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit will be there, and the whole place will be illuminated with their glory, and we will bask in their light. So when Jesus says there in John chapter 8, I know where I've come from. I've come from the Father. I was there in the beginning. When he said, let there be light, I was there. And when it's all said and done, I will be there in my Father's presence, bearing light, bearing light. Understanding this concept of Jesus being the light of the world is so important for our lives. It's not just a nice little title that he says, you know, I'm the light of the world. It is a spiritual concept that we need to grasp. For at the heart of this is the battle we all face. The battle that Christ has won. It is the truth that we walk in, and most importantly, it's the truth that that should be lived out in each of our lives every single day. Has Jesus become the light of your life? Has Jesus become the light of your life in this world of darkness? The Bible describes our relationship with Christ, and it describes us as who we were before Christ. Before Christ, in Romans it says, and you were enemies with Christ. You were separated. You were in darkness. You were completely alienated from God because of our sin. And as I mentioned earlier, sin throughout the Bible is referred to as darkness, this world of darkness. And Paul writes all throughout the New Testament about this light and this darkness that Jesus Christ has brought into the world and into our lives. And you can, I want to just read these. You can write these down. But I want you to write down Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, for he, Jesus, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us, delivered us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been rescued from darkness, from chaos, from sin, from death. Ephesians, write down Ephesians 5:8. Ephesians 5:8. For once you were full of darkness. You were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For the light within you produces only what is good and right and true. You were once full of darkness, and now Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has brought light. Live as people of light. We are no longer that person, that people who lived in darkness and lived in sin and lived for ourselves. Now we are part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, and we should live our lives as so. And one last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, for God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, back in Genesis 1, 3, for God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. What an incredible group of verses. God so loved us that he sent his only Son to be the light of the world. And we have to understand that it is so important in our lives that he is the source of hope, the source of truth. He is the light of the world. And we've seen his amazing power of God's light that brings truth into the world. But there's one other truth that we need to recognize this morning. Not only did Jesus proclaim to be the light of the world, not only does Scripture talk about how we've been delivered from darkness and that we have the light of the world in us, if you turn over to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, Jesus is speaking again, and he's speaking to his believers, those people who are following after him. And what does he say? He looks at them and he says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. The light of the world is telling us, the body of Christ, that we are the light of the world because of him who is living within us. He goes on to say, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Important question to answer is, who do you believe Jesus Christ to be? Who do you say Jesus is? An equally important question is, who does Jesus say you are? Who does Jesus say that you are? You are a child of God. You are my son. You are my daughter. But here he says, you are the light of the world. Do you see the significance behind that? Do you see the power behind that? That God has sent his son to bring light. And now we are the bearers of that torch. The Son of God, his Spirit living within us. And it's a truth we know because we sing it all the time, right? Do we still sing? Do we still teach the little children the song? You remember the song you used to sing when you were growing up? Everybody get them out. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We sing it all the time. We won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. There's a video. Ted Decker is one of my favorite authors. He's a Christian author. And he came out with a video that shows this little girl. And she's coming before the church and she's singing that song just proudly. You know, just no fear, just singing it at the top of her lungs. And then it shows her kind of growing up. And now she's a preteen and she's still singing, but there's a little bit of apprehension. And then as she becomes a teenager, she starts to sing it just a little bit quieter. And then the more she grows, the less confident. And she slowly puts her finger down and she becomes silent. And he says, you know, that is starting to happen more and more. We're seeing our children grow up and they're leaving the church. They're leaving the faith. This generation of college students that we are ministering to right now, 4%. Follow after Christ. 4%. 85%, if not more, of SAU is lost. Deep in the heart of southern Arkansas, Bible Belt capital of the world. Do you ever wonder why? Do you wonder why China has, if not become, is getting ready to become the most evangelized nation in the world? China, who is sending missionaries along with South Korea to the United States? Have we forgotten? Number one, this little light of mine is wrong. The light's not little. There's nothing little about this light that lives within us. It is the power of God. It is able to separate darkness, dispel sin. And God has called us to be that light. This church is the light of the world for CrossIt. Young people, God has placed you in schools to be the light, to shine the light to your classmates. No matter what the state says, no matter what they say, you can't proclaim. Yes, you can proclaim the gospel. You can stand bold up and say, hey, let me share about my Jesus. God has placed you in the workplace, not just to get that check so you can make the mortgage and pay off the car and the boat and all the toys. He's placed you in that job to be the light of the world to those people around you. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're a banker, whether you're a lawyer, whatever you are the light of the world. My campus minister, when I was growing up in college, he said one thing that I remember. He said a lot of things, but this is the only thing I remember. He says, are you a Christian who just happens to be a banker or a teacher or whatever? I may have said that backwards. He said, are you a banker who just happens to be a Christian, or are you a Christian who just happens to be a banker? See the difference? What? How do you identify yourself? Are you primarily just a teacher, a banker? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who just happens to have that as a job where they use that as their platform to tell the people about Jesus Christ? Are you living as the light of the world? Jesus came, proclaimed, I am the light of the world. He separated us out from darkness. And then he says, now you go be the light. You go be the light. Not just on mission trips. They're great. But he's called you to be the light of the world every single day to your family, to your neighbors, to your work, to your associates. You're not just here by accident. God has a divine plan, and you're part of it to bear the light of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for you sending light into this world of darkness, that we can have hope, that we can be free from the sin, from the chaos of this world. But God, it goes so much further than that, that you've literally entrusted us with that light, that you give us that light and say, now go bear it. Bear the light of the world. Let them see you in our lives. God, I pray as we come to the conclusion that we would not just know facts, but that we would live them out as you've planned. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this body of believers that you've brought together to be light in this community. May we be faithful and shine bright. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. We're going to have a time to respond, and I'm going to ask the pastor to come. And maybe you've not ever asked Jesus Christ to come and be the light of your life. We're going to give you that opportunity. Or maybe perhaps God is saying, hey, it's time to start shining bright. Maybe we all know people who are lost. If you don't know any who's lost, then you need to just start meeting people. They're out there. But God has brought them into your world for a reason.